Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this is back from the Comic-Con. And actually the last issue was back from the Comic-Con, last episode. And I was kind of sick, and I still am kind of dealing with the after effects of the cold. Just want to say I saw Gotham the other night, and I thought it was ingenious of what they did with one of the characters, and that I hope that they take this forward into the comic books. And I don't often say that, but they did something that I thought was masterful with one of the characters, and I hope it makes it into the Batman lore. I don't want to spoil it because probably a lot of people haven't watched it. With TV series, it's hard with DVRs now. It's like, it's hard not to spoil stuff because some people wait. And you listen to podcasts and they often talk about stuff. And then it's like, oh, damn, I have to fast forward or whatever. But let's kick this off. This is, I'm actually recording two Mike M's Weekly Reads because the previous week I didn't have time to record because of work. And then I was on vacation. So didn't have time, but this was for the week beginning 9/28/2015, lasting 7 days. Again, the scores are 5, I love it, 4, I really like it, 3, I like it, 2, I did not like it, and 1 is I hated it. They're the Netflix scores, because I like the way they rate stuff. There's no ambiguity, it's just how you felt. And the breakout was only 29 books that week, but a wide distribution. The next week is not a wide distribution. It was almost all DC. But this week had a lot of distribution and diversity. There was American Gothic Press, which is a Fangoria publication, or a Monsters, I forget the Famous Monsters publication comic book release, where they deal in horror and they deal in sci-fi, so it's horror and sci-fi based. So they had one book. We had Black Mask, which had 3 books. Dark Horse had 3 books. DC had 10. IDW had 1. Image had 2. Marvel had 8. And Zenoscope had 1. And these books aren't real fresh in my mind because they were last week, but now I've moved on, so I'll try to make this short and brief. But this was an interesting week because, man, since I can remember, there were no 2 out of 5s, there were no 3 out of 5s, they were all bunched in the 4 out of 5s, and there were quite a few 5 out of 5s, which means I had a really good week of reading. Last week was probably one of the better weeks for me ever. The reason I say that is because I didn't want to put comic books down. It seemed like everything I picked up, I was in really loving it. Or I really, really liked it. So starting at the bottom, we had Armor Wars number 1. This almost made a 3 out of 5. I didn't quite dig it as much, but this is a James Robinson. The art was not up to what I usually like, but it was quite different. But I did like it, and I liked where they were going with it. And it was number 1, and the way it started, I was like, oh, this is good. Probably I like it, but I'm not going to really like it. And the way it built up and built up and built up, I was like, yeah, this is the James Robinson I know, and I think I'm going to really like this series. So I rated it a 4 out of 5. It was the lowest ranking book, but it still made the 4 out of 5s. It almost did the 3s, but it, like I said, as I kept reading and reading it, I changed my score because it started to build into something that I really enjoyed. At the next one is Black Mask. I finished off the Disciples 3 and 4. It is a really quick read, and it's a sci-fi series where these mercenaries are sent by somebody very rich to go into space and retrieve this rich guy's daughter, because she's been brought into a cult, and it's kind of like on the moon of Io or somewhere in Jupiter. I don't remember if it's Io specifically, but I know it's a moon of Jupiter. So they have to go in suspended animation. On their trip there, some weird shit happens. And then it gets really weird on the ship, and we actually lose somebody. And once they land, things even get weirder. And I really enjoyed the suspense of this series, and I really enjoyed, even though it was quick, it did feel like a Steve Niles, like 30 Days of Night in space kind of thing. The only thing that I don't think, it landed the ending, like the last two pages, while it was a good climax of an ending, it wasn't nothing like different. It was very formulaic, and I was waiting for like a hook or something, like a hook to be the end. But I still really enjoyed the series, and I'd recommend it for those who like shows, movies like Outland with Sean Connery, or Aliens, or things like that. I think they would really like The Disciples from Black Mass Publishing. The next one that I rated was Broken Moon. This was the only offering that I read from American Gothic Press. We covered it a lot on Geek Brunch, so I would encourage you to go listen to that episode. I won't break it down here, but I will tell you kind of what it's about. So this is a post-apocalyptic monster story, and it talks about vampires and all the monsters that are on Earth, and how humans decided that they wanted to travel to space and start colonizing the moon. But when they colonized it, they ended up destroying it and blowing up part of the moon, so the moon has a huge chunk out of it. Well, that caused all kinds of flooding and like tidal things on Earth because the moon was part missing. Caused a lot of different things to happen, which is kind of like an end of days. And it turned into a world where the world was divided amongst monsters, and the humans were like farm animals. And it goes from there. But it's like Underworld, and the fact that the vampires don't like the werewolves, and the werewolves don't like the vampires, but the vampires know they have to keep the humans in line and stuff like that because they are their food source. And the humans want to be free, and they don't want to be cattle, but they're being treated as such. So it's a pretty interesting story. I'd recommend it for those of you who like Underworld and all the Underworld stories with a little bit of a sci-fi twist and post-apocalyptic twist. So the next one is Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. This one was Kelly Sue DeConnick's farewell to, I believe, Marvel Comics, and also to the character of Captain Marvel, where she kind of left her mark. And I'm not a really big Kelly Sue fan, but I really think what I did read of the Captain Marvel that I really did enjoy. I really enjoyed Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps. It's kind of like on Battleworld, they're on a world where Carol is super powered, and she flies along with all these fighter pilots that are on the Carol Corps, and she does build a lot of distinctive personalities. And one time they go raid a ship, and they're told it's got Ultrons on it, and they destroy the ship, and they find out that they kill a lot of men, slaughtered the hell out of them, but they find James Rhodes. And he actually is brought into their midst. Meanwhile, they discover that they're kind of like not told to look towards the sky or not try to leave their world. And they get a curiosity about all of them that they want to leave the world and find out what's in space. And that's kind of how it ends. But it explores a lot of interesting concepts. And I really enjoyed the interaction between Carol and her team. It was like kind of like an Amazon Warriors, but they're like fighter pilots, like Blackhawks, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. So that was Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, number 3 and 4, so 2 issues of that. The other one is from Dark Horse. It's Midnight Society: The Black Lake. This one I never pre-ordered, but I added it to my pull list after I read the first issue. It is a really enjoyable stuff about like the Loch Ness monster and stuff. It's like a group going out to Loch Ness to find out what's going on there. And there's a lot of other subplots, and one of the main explorers, a big twist to this story is is shown in this issue when they're actually getting attacked by the monster, and one of the main characters manifests an ability, which I won't spoil, but I really like it. If you like mystery and you like just weird tales, explorer type tales, you will probably enjoy Midnight Society: The Black Lake from Dark Horse Publishing. I think there's only one issue left. Harley's coming in and out because I'm taking the day off today from work to relax from the vacation I just had. But that was another 4 out of 5. And then we get into some Marvel, all new Ghost Rider 9 and 10, but there's also an all new Ghost Rider 11 and 12. I finished this series. Okay, so for the 4 out of 5s, I rated all new Ghost Rider 9 of 10, which kind of saw the Mr. Hyde and the Russian gang storyline kind of end for Robbie Reyes. And I really did enjoy it, and it was kind of like the creative team throughout. I really enjoyed this ghost driver, if you will. They really built up this character, Robbie Reyes, to be a great character. And I will talk more about it when I get to the 5 out of 5s and why I loved it so much when I read 11 and 12. But these were 9 out of 10s. It was a good from beginning to end, and had a really good finale. And it had such a finale that you're like, oh damn, it's over. But the writer did go on to do Ghost Racers for Battle World, which I read the first one. The first one was all right, but I think I'm gonna really enjoy it because if this guy does what he did with this series, I think I'm gonna really dig what the Battle World series is. So the next up is Grimm Fairy Tales presents Death One Shot. This was really good. I thought this one. Yeah, I did this right. I thought this one has to do with the Death character, like the hooded character that's in the Grimm Fairy Tales Terror comic books. And it kind of gives you like her backstory and all those entities that have to do with death, all the gods that are part of that like round table. And she's basically on trial for doing something that she broke the rules with her own people on what she can and can't do, and they essentially turned her into a human. And it was a really good story, and a lot of Zenoscope's books, they tell really good stories, and the art is like subpar most of the time. You get a really good cover, and the art and the interiors are just average. They're fine, and they get the story across, but they're not something you go, oh, that was pretty cool. Well, this art I thought was above average for them, and I really enjoyed the story. It was a one shot, but it makes you leave saying, "I want to. I wish this was an ongoing," because I like the character a lot, and I thought what they did with her and making her human and stuff made her really interesting. So the next one is Power Cubed. This is an Aaron Lopresti story and art. I love Aaron's work, his artwork. I even have a commission of Conan from him. I think he's an amazing talent, very underrated, in my opinion. And he's finally doing a book that he is very passionate about. It's very fantasy based because it's based about a cube that has like firestorm capabilities. It can transmutate matter in from one form to another, and I think it can only do like non-organic stuff, very much like he could turn like a toaster into a car. But the interesting is he can't create matter. So if he turns a toaster into a car, it's the same size as the toaster, but it has all the functionality, but the weight and mass and everything else remains the same. So it's slightly different, but his father invented this cube, and him and his father have issues where he always was close to his mother died, and he could never bond with his father. For his birthday, his father gave him this cube, and then they're attacked by an evil Nazi villain that seems to live in like this house of mystery, if you will. It's like a castle that's stairs go, and it must be in like some imaginary type land. But I'd highly recommend it if you like fantasy. I'm not a fantasy reader, but this isn't really fantasy. It's like if what a kid could do with a cube, and it's all limited to his imagination. And they develop the kid, the father, and a couple of bumbling mercenaries that are working for this Nazi doctor to try to get the cube. And they're like the comedic relief. So yeah, I'd recommend that. Power Cubed, I really enjoyed it. Tokyo Ghost. This is a Rick Remender and Sean Murphy. And I just say Sean Murphy's art is just mind-blowingly awesome. Like, the more and more I read of his stuff, the more and more I enjoy it. And this one I read like really late, and like I didn't enjoy it that much, and I was like, there's something wrong. Look at this creative team. Why don't I read it in the morning when my mind is fresh? And I read it in the morning, and I it did. I'm so glad I reread it, because I would have given this a 3 out of 5, and now it's a 4 out of 5, because I read it when my mind was fresh. And I knew with the creative team that something was wrong if it was a 3 out of 5. So I reread it, and I wasn't sleepy. My mind was fresh. It absorbed it. It's like another post-apocalyptic world where technology has taken over, and so much so that people and machines are sometimes one. And it focuses on two mercenaries that are after this one gang lord who's also ingrained in mechanical stuff, and they have to bring him in. And it's this man and this woman, and the woman is kind of like the main character. You learn about the world through her eyes. And then what's really a punch-pounding ending is you find out that the guy she's in love with, but he's so ingrained in the machines, and he's lost his humanity. And she even tries to say, "Please get your humanity back. You know I love you." And even tries to have sex with him and try to bring him back into this world after their job's completed. But he's totally immersed into the. It's like if you're plugged into the Matrix, and he can't get out to gain his humanity again. But it's an amazing story, and I recommend it. Then we get into Thunder Agents Volume 3, Number 4 and 6. I am so loving the Thunder Agents. And 4 through 6 kind of wrapped up that first story arc, which was really good. Nick Spencer was just doing an awesome job. And the more and more I read about these Thunder Agents, the more and more I wanted to research the Thunder Agents, the more and more I wanted to buy the old issues of the Thunder Agents, the more and more I wanted to ask questions from my friends about the Thunder Agents. And when I got to 7 and 10, which I rated my highest rated book, 5 out of 10, I'll tell you why, I just was blown away by the series. It was amazing. I love the two characters that Nick Spencer did to in you learn about the Thunder Agents through their eyes, a female and a male agent for Thunder, not the actual characters. And 1 through 6 kind of focused on them. Plus, you got like a bonus in every issue in the fact that you got to learn a little bit about Raven, you got a little bit about Thunder, you got to learn about, the Nomad and all these different characters. But you were learning about it through these other two agents' eyes. And it was brilliant. And Cafu on the art was so damn good. I think it's his best work ever. And I don't know what to say other than I should have rated it all 4 or 5 out of 5, but This is a 4 out of 5 for issues 4 through 6. This is the third volume. The first volume was Tower Comics, which I only own the first 2 issues of, but this made me want to go buy all of them. And I have the trades, but the way my mentality works is I want to have the single issues. And the series also made me want to look in tomorrow's Thunder Agents publication and pre-order that, or not pre-order, it's already been out. But they have I buy like some of their books, like the Cockman Companion and the Blue Beetle Companion and the Quality Companion. Well, they have one, the Thunder Agents Companion. And I really became obsessed with these characters and the potential of what Nick Spencer did. I think Nick Spencer loved these characters. I even asked a friend. I was like, did he kind of like piggyback off of this? Because I, as a comic reader, you can get the feeling that a writer's channeling the past. You know, he's digging out of the character's past and putting his own take on it. And sure enough, I guessed right because I talked to Bill Zanowitz, who does the Thunder Agents podcast, and I was like, you know, I'm kind of new to the Thunder Agents, and I've been reading the IDW one, but now I'm back reading the DC, and I'm absolutely loving it. And did this happen? And he's like, yeah, they introduced that in the old days. So I really appreciate when writers take a nod to history and take all the elements that make these characters special and use those and put in a new take and a new voice for them. And amazing. And then the next one is Jimmy Palmiotta, Justin Gray on Batwing on 28 through 30. And you'll see I finished the series and it went to a 5 out of 5, just like Thunder Agents. It's like I got my feet warm getting back into the Batwing, and I was like, man, why didn't people love this? It's like Batman stories of the past that are the elements of the past in a modern take, and it's such a story way to like how do people not like this story? I just don't get it. Why did it not succeed? I think it maybe didn't succeed because it should have relaunched. Very seldom do you say a book should relaunch, but in this case, I believe it should have relaunched because it was a different Batwing. They launched it with a Batwing in Africa, and it was a very good story. I really liked it, and it was Batman Inc. related more than what it turned out to be. But that story arc was fine. It was by John Winnick and it was really good. But when Palmiotti and Gray took over, the mantle had changed. And it changed so the new Batwing was Lucius Fox's son. And it added so much to the Bat universe. And what Palmiotti and Gray did is they invested a lot of time building up the family. Like you learn about his 2 sisters, you learn about the mother. You learn about all this stuff, and it's built up with a lot of action. And the main villains was like a friend that he used to have. And I'll talk more about it when I get to the next issue of Mike M's Weekly Reads, because I want to talk about a little bit about the climactic battle and some of the things that made this book absolutely amazing. But Batwing number 28 through 30 is 4 out of 5. But as I read, just like with Thunder Agents, the more and more I read, the more and more I was like, I love this world. I love this. I want to wiki this. I want to learn more. And then it's over. But absolutely wonderful read. Star Trek Green Lantern was the next one. This series is amazing because this creative team, I think, had a great appreciation for what Geoff Johns had done, because it's almost like if you took all the Geoff Johns lore and put them into the Star Trek universe and did it in such a way that everything that happened in DC mattered and everything that's happened in Star Trek mattered, and then you combine the 2 universes in this very unique story where some of the crew is given rings, and some of like Sinestro's in this world, and Atrocitus is in this world, and all kinds of great stuff. And Hal Jordan is kind of the main guy that's on the ship, and even Carol is over there, and some of the members like Chekhov and McCoy and Uhura have all gotten rings, different color rings depending on their. And Larfleeze is in this world, and a character actually got some of the orange, so it got Larfleeze's attention. Because if you know the Larfleeze verse, it's the only Lantern Corps that only has one member, and it's Larfleeze because he's got greed, and he consumes everything. And the only thing is, you have a lot of orange lanterns, but they're manifestations because Larfleeze had taken from them. So, yeah, I highly recommend this. It's really, if you're a Green Lantern fan, you should read it. If you're a Star Trek fan, you should read it. It made me buy Star Trek from IDW again. So, in that aspect, a real success because now I'm reading Star Trek from IDW. So, that was a 4 out of 5. The next one is that was a 4 out of 5. This is the last one. This was a top 4 out of 5. It almost made the 5 out of 5s. Was Plutona from Jeff Lemire. And let me get the artist because the artist did a really good job. So I'm gonna bring up my database here. Emil Lennox. So I don't know if that's a me Emmy Lemmick. Sorry, I don't. I'll say Emil. That's like a cooking show. Emil is one of the cooks. But I think it's a Emmy is a female, and then the colors by Jody Belair. Everybody knows that name from co for coloring. But this was a cross between The Breakfast Club and Stand By Me, mixed in a world of superheroes. You have this odd bunch of kids that it does a lot to introduce the kids and their relationships between them. And a lot of them don't even belong together, but they form a club and they find a dead body. And a lot of the back matter explains the hero that died. And you kind of feel for this character because she's like overworked and does two jobs and is always working. And it builds that character up. But this was a really good read. I didn't think I would like it as much as I did. And it's a very different read for things that are on the shelf right now, and I highly recommend it. So that was Platonia from Image Comics. And then we get to the 5 out of 5s, which we've kind of already talked a little about. Paybacks number one from Dark Horse Comics. This guy, Donnie Cates, is just. He's killing it for me. Like, he puts pen on paper and I get sucked into the world. Well, Paybacks is a lot different than what he's done before, but they're books that I absolutely loved. He did Buzzkill, which was about a superhero that would gain powers when he would do drugs or alcohol, and the powers would manifest themselves differently depending on what drug he did. And he didn't want to do the drugs. Like he only wanted to do them when he had to, especially in this particular case. And it was an amazing story, and I absolutely loved it. And I don't know why I missed out on Ghost Fleet, but I bought the first trade. I haven't read the second one yet. And he did Ghost Fleet, and I said, "Oh my God, I absolutely love this series." And I had to get it, and I just received the second volume of the trade in my last DCBS order, so I can't hardly wait to read it. And then there's this one. These are all Dark Horse publications, so look for them. He's also in the latest previews, he's also doing Interceptor, I believe is called, for Heavy Metal Comics, and I'd highly recommend it just because this guy has been a 5 out of 5 writer for me. Like, if you like me, or like my recommendations, if you hate them, then I guess disregard them because what do I know, right? But if you find that some of your likes are like my likes, everybody's likes are going to be different. I would at least give Buzzkill this Paybacks you could jump on right now. It's actually like written like a humor book, but it's not quite like that. It's about a repo service that repos superhero artifacts. It's almost like if Batman couldn't pay the bill, these guys would have to go in and take the Batmobile and stuff out of the cave. And the members of the team are members that have had things repossessed before. And they have such an odd group of characters that get introduced. And they have this van that's almost like an interdimensional doorway to another world. I needed to take a drink there. But it is really cool. In this one, they have like a Batman analog, and they do a really good job of introducing the character in a very Frank Miller voice, like, I'm the knight, I need to protect the people of this city, that kind of stuff, and all this. And he's got a horse named Nightmare, and he's Night Knight, which is kind of cool, because like nighty night, Night Knight, but it's like Knight spelled with an N, and then Knight spelled with a K, Night Knight. But amazing story, amazing humor. You're engrossed in the story. I guarantee you will enjoy it. And if you do read it, I'd like to hear what you think about it. I'd really like to hear any people send me an email or something and say if you like his work, like Buzzkill or Ghost Fleet or any of this stuff. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on Paybacks as well. And try to pre-order Interceptor from Heavy Metal Comics. The next one is from, I think it's Black Mask. I sometimes get the titles confused with what's going on. This is Transference. This is a time. People go back in time by rich people to change certain things. They get paid a lot of money. And they find out that somebody else is in this time machine and has better time machine gizmos and technology and is effing up these agents' lives, so specifically the main character. He's starting to drink alcohol again and shit's starting to happen. And he knows things aren't right. He's like, why am I divorced? I love my wife. And he actually finds some clues. They find the technology, they reverse engineer it and try to go after the people that are changing things and find out what's going on with his other two agents that are with him. I'm not like a big time machine or time shift fan in that genre, but when it's done well like this, it just blows my mind. And I thought it was a 5 out of 5. I loved it. It was like a page turner. And I can't wait to find out what happens. But that's Transference. And it's from Black Mass Publishing. They're like a go-to company. It's by Michael Morrissey and art by Ron Salas. And we talk a lot about it on the Geek Brunch podcast as well. So the next one that got the 5 out of 5 going up again is All-Star Ghost Rider, All New Ghost Rider, number 11 and 12. I just grew to love Robbie Reyes. It's kind of interesting how they used Reyes as his last name, because you have a very young guy who takes care of his brother Gabriel. I never really realized how Human Services would allow this to happen, but he's like a high school student and he's taking care of his brother. Well, he might be out of high school and he's got a job as a mechanic, so he must be like 17, 18. And he's got a girl that's really interested in him. The thing that really blew my mind is you have this really good villain that they introduced that got hopped up on the Hyde drug that turned out to be his adversary. He's the one in issue one that actually stole his brother Gabe's comics and destroyed his handicap chair. And What's ironic is that he ends up handicapped because he got thrown off a bridge and kind of landed on his back, and now he can't walk anymore, which is so ironic. But the one thing you learn is that the spirit that's inside of him isn't like the Ghost Rider demon that's in the other Ghost Riders. It is actually his uncle, who was like a serial killer, and he's possessed Robbie Reyes. And you learn that what he did is like he's the reason his brother's handicapped. He's the reason that the family is no longer in the picture and might be dead. Like, we don't know exactly what happened, but he's the reason that all this happened. It turns out that this uncle is their father's brother, and the mother was always telling the father, don't let him into the house. Don't let him near the kids. He's evil. He's not right. And he would always, it's like one of those arguments. No, he's family. He's my brother. What am I going to do? But he dies and he comes back. And that's why there's a link with the Russian gangs and stuff like that, is because this guy was not a good person. And it is just really deep. And then this demon takes over Gabe, the kid. The little boy, and has him go after Robbie Reyes, and it just gets really deep. And then, even in the issues before, you get the original Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze, in it, and he knows what this kid is going through, and he's like, "You got what it takes, but you can't let this demon take over you." And so he's kind of like a mentor to Robbie Reyes, but it was so good. I just loved it so much. And I got so into the story. The next one is The Beauty, Jeremy Hahn. This story is about a sexually transmitted disease. I've already talked about it, but the story just builds so much more on what's going on politically and why they're trying to hide this from the public. It makes people beautiful, and then they almost like spontaneously combust. And now it's infected some of the main characters. I don't want to spoil it. Because in each issue, it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. And I really like it because it's like you get to that last page and you're like, well, where's the next issue? I want to grab it and I want to read it. And that's what a monthly comic book should do, because it leaves like a mark in your head and you'll always remember, like, why do I love this book so much? I think this book is wonderful. So that's The Beauty by Jeremy Hahn. And that's an Image comic. And then we get into another Marvel 5 out of 5, which is 1872 by Jerry Duggan, or Dugan, how you want to pronounce it. This series is like an Elseworlds with all the Marvel characters in the Wild West. And it is just amazingly done well. This is like the graphic novel you want to give to somebody, like, and say, read this. This is like a Western Watchmen. It is so good. And the thing I love about it is all bets are off. Your big players might not survive. Some of the major characters are more like minor characters in the real Marvel U. But it is an amazing series, and I hope that people give this a shot. I know they're launching a book out of this. I don't know if it'll be in the West, or I don't really read a lot of pre-solicits because I kind of buy all the Marvel and DC right now, so I don't like to get spoiled. I just check the buy the bundle or buy the every issue. But I know there's a Red Wolf series coming out, and Red Wolf, is the Native American character. He actually had a series in the 70s, and I own those, and they're really good. At least I read the first three anyway, and I really enjoyed them. He kind of launched out of Avengers. It was like one of my things where I get excited about a certain thing I read. Like, I think I read an article in Back Issue Magazine. Back Issue Magazine makes me go buy an Avengers issue, and then I read the Avengers issue, and it makes me go buy the main series of Red Wolf, and I just become obsessed with like history and the characters, and then I actually go buy all the stories that involve them, and Red Wolf is one of them. But 1872 is just, oh man, I can't tell you. The art is wonderful. The story is wonderful. It is my favorite Secret Wars title or Battle World title. And that's even with Thor's and, well, I haven't read a lot of them still, so I can't say that. But of everything I've read, it's my favorite. I absolutely love it. And then we get to Thunder Agents 7 through 10. Fucking amazing. Amazing. It is the story about that agent. She finds out who her mom is, and her mom turns out to be the Iron Maiden. And, I don't want to try to spoil it all, but the linkage and stuff to the history of the characters and the way it's told is an amazing tale. These are Nick Spencer stories, and he puts a lot of thought into his writing. And the thing that made this also amazing is there was a lot of flashback series. And I always, you'll see me complain from time to time, is like, why can't people just tell sequential stories anymore? You know, it's almost like everybody's writes comics has to do a flash forward, a flash sideways, a flash back, and flash this way to just, and then you're like, was it really necessary? And I'd say, like, with a lot of modern comics, you'd ask yourself, is it really necessary? You'd say, no. This might have even worked better if it was all told linearly. But in these Thunder Agent stories, it had Mike Grell artwork for Nick Jagoda from the 60s, like, telling the original Thunder Agents. And then Mike Grell art in the 70s, like telling the 70s period. And then Cafu art telling the modern story. And it, oh my God. Well, some of these, the artists are just fucking amazing in this book. And then the story, the way they link the past to the future to the present, is just, it is so good. It just like engrosses you and engrosses you. And you're like, I don't want to stop reading. But it led me to read the next volume. Like in the next Mike M's Weekly Read, I read 1 through 6 of the next volume and completed it. And I absolutely loved it. And it's like one of those series where it makes you sad because you read something that's so genuine and so engrossing and you love it so much, and you know you'll never have that magic ever again. Like, you'll never... Like, I can go back and read the old Thunder Agents, and I'll probably enjoy it, but it's Nick Spencer's writing that made me love these characters. It made me want to know more about these characters. And I started the Phil Hester Thunder Agents, and it's really good. It's a 4 out of 5, but it's not the Nick Spencer stuff. It is not. Nick Spencer is what made me love this franchise. And this was the top 5 out of 5. So I hope that you enjoyed listening to this. And please give me feedback. Let me know what you think of any of these titles or other books you'd like me to cover. At mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. I'm also on geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's where these episodes are posted. And there's a Facebook page, Geek Brunch Podcast. You can click the like button and follow all the episode threads on that site. The other way to get a hold of me is on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. So I hope you enjoyed this. And there should be one coming really shortly because I'm recording 2 back-to-back, but I'll probably wait 5 to 7 days to release it. So thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you again shortly. Bye-bye.